chapter 12.
Terry
said, hey, we've already had two sermons. Conan preached a sermon and George preached a sermon. And now we get sermon number three here. So,
dark.
Yeah. So it'll be short. He said, you know, we already had two short ones. Now the number three needs to be short. So,
well, you can't leave anyway because Iwana didn't get out till 7:30.
This is true. Yes. So, Romans chapter 12.
We could spend a year on Romans 12.
Oh, I know.
Well, we there, almost have. There.
Now, wait a minute. That is just not right. Well, there is so much here, you know, and it hasn't been a year. It's only been two or three weeks.
Well,
no, it's been, no, no, it, yeah, the, no, we've been in Romans 12 for a while, but, you know, there's just so much here that we can learn and grow in, we're in this section here of exercising grace, verses 9 through 13. I want to keep reiterating this because this is like really, really important. What is the context of Romans chapter 12? Who is Paul talking to? The church. Okay, so this is talking to the church, okay? Now, as individuals, these are things that we need to integrate into our lives, but these are also things as a church that we need to integrate into our lives. So it's kind of that dual exercise here, I guess you'd say. I don't know. But in verses 9 to 13, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for our time together. Thank you for your love and for the work you do in our lives. And Lord, help us to understand some of these principles and incorporate them into our lives and help us to be stronger believers. We love you and we thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in verse 9, we talked about love. Let love be without dissimulation. What is the word dissimulation? What is the
hypocrisy?
It also means without wax, and we talked about what that meant, without wax, and so we spent a lot of time on that. So in other words, what he's saying here is we need to be genuine in our love, being without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Our love needs to be genuine. Abhor that which is evil, or to hate evil. be careful here not to hate the evildoer, but to hate the evil. Because God died for for the ungodly.
Amen.
And if God hated the evildoer, I would have never been able to get saved. And neither would you. And praise God, he died for the ungodly. Cleave to that which is good, or stick to, or resist separation. Do everything you can to cleave to that which is good. Make it a priority in your life. You know, one of the things I get asked periodically from someone is they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, what's wrong with doing, and you fill in the blank, you know, going here, doing this, listening to that. It can be just about anything. And so what happens, let me be careful how I say this. most of us are concerned with what's wrong with. Right? That's the real question is, okay, well, what's right with it? See, there's a difference between doing an activity or a whatever because there's nothing wrong with it, but there may not be anything right with it either. Does that make sense? It sounds almost like double talk, but it's not. And oftentimes when somebody comes to me and asks me that question, I say, okay, well, don't tell me, don't ask me if there's anything wrong with it. Tell me what's right about it. And they just kind of look at you like, I don't know. Well, then I said, you know, then I'll usually say something, then I think you just answered your own question. Because we are told to cleave to that which is good. And if something is good, it needs to be a part of our lives. Rick?
A wise master once told me, his name is Rick, when in doubt, don't.
Yeah, when in doubt, don't. And, you know, one of the things that I asked myself early on in my walk with Christ, somebody shared this thought with me, and I've used it really throughout my entire life, especially with an activity, you know, going somewhere, doing something. They said, because I was struggling with this, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? You know, and they said, well, think of it this way. Would you, if Jesus were to come into this room right now, would you say, hey, Jesus, would you like to go with me to this activity? Ouch. And then, you know, then it's like, ooh, I don't know that he would really enjoy doing whatever. Maybe it isn't something necessarily quote unquote wrong. You know, back many years ago, some of us that are older remember the what would Jesus do phase of Christianity. And there is a lot of truth in that, but I think it got way overused and taken out of context. But the reality is, it's not so much what would Jesus do, but what would he not do? Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, we talked about this one last week. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Kindly affection means to be deeply devoted to. And that is exactly what George was talking about a few minutes ago. If we as a church are going to be deeply devoted to each other, what are we going to do in times of crisis?
Support.
We're going to rally and support. That's what family does. That's what Christian family should do. And and the reality is, we're all going to go through hard times, right, Cass? I don't know why I was thinking about this, but when Sean was just a little guy, believe it or not, Sean used to be about that big. But when he was a little guy in the hospital, you know, our church rallied around your family. You know, and that's what, and the same with Bob, Melanie talked about when I was sick 6 years ago, you know, everybody rallied around and took care of us, and I mean, that's what we should do. That is what this is talking about here, that deep, devoted love toward one another. So the next one in verse 10, in honor, preferring one another. This is where it gets sticky. It's one thing to say, hey, you're supposed to love one another with a deep devotion, but do I have to really prefer the other person? What does it mean to prefer?
Put the other person before yourself.
Okay, put the other person before yourself. Or one of the definitions that I came across was to outdo one another in a show of respect. But he doesn't just say to prefer one another. I believe my English teacher over here could help me. The word highly would be an adjective?
Adverb.
It would be an adverb describing how, right? How we are to prefer. What is that word? Highly. So not only are we to prefer one another, but we're supposed to do it with this word honor, which means to highly respect, to honor, in honor, preferring one another. How does that look in real life? Okay, putting others' needs in front of your own.
Philippians chapter 2.
Okay, quote it. Or paraphrase it. Just paraphrase it. Just you don't have to get it exactly right.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And there's a preface.
Being in the form of God, thought it not to be equal with God.
Okay, go ahead. Read it. Okay, so the other day I was going into the bank, and there was an older lady who was just in front of me, and when you those of you that a bank at Wells Fargo know what I'm talking about. There's two doors. There's an outside door, and then there's another door in that little short period. So she walks up and she grabs hold of the door, and I was trying to reach the door ahead of her to open it for her, but she beat me to it. And so I said, "Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, ma'am, please go." And we stood there doing this, you go, for, what seemed like 3 hours. Because I knew there was another door inside. So guess what I got to do? So I got to open the door, and she's like, go ahead. I'm like, no, ma'am, you can. But with...
Let me be a gentleman.
Yeah. I wanted to throw her through the door, you know. But as I was thinking about this idea of with honor preferring one another, I thought of that little exchange that took place, and that's how we should be in the church. It doesn't matter. A lot of conflict that takes place in a church has got nothing to do with the Bible. Right?
Peanut butter,
yeah. Well, my hope and prayer is that you smoothie people will get right with God and start crunching out on some good peanut butter. But see, the thing is, if we would learn to understand that other people, what's the word? How do I want to say this? We don't always know when somebody's having a bad day. We just don't. And, I'm going to... Joel Monroe is a great example of what I'm trying to say. I love Joel. He's an incredible man. You just don't know this man's heart. But he came to me because he's a chef. I mean, this guy is like a professional cook. And he said to me, he's like, you know, I would love to be able to do this, but, you know, if somebody else needs to do it, that's okay. That's awesome. And that's the way it ought to be. You know, it's not about getting the honor and the fame for doing things. You know, the whole reason we're going through this this exercise and we're wrapping it up here, well, not quite, almost, we're getting close, but in Romans 12 is because for 16 years of the life of this church, well, almost 16 and a half now, we've not had deacons. And we've not had deacons because we've not needed them. Hello? Do you know why? Because everybody does what they're supposed to do. Go back to the book of Acts, if you would. And why did the church in the book of Acts first institute deacons? Because people were falling through the cracks. And part of the reason we're finally getting deacons is because I'm getting older, and my wife and I were talking about it just yesterday, and there's been a few people recently that have fallen through the cracks because I can't keep up with everybody. I need help. That's why we're going through this and we're learning what a church is supposed to look like. But we haven't had to have deacons because when there was a need, everybody would just step up and make it happen. One of our last trustee meeting, when we were talking about the budget, we were talking about the fact that Melanie and I are going to Israel in, what, 3 weeks? Something like that. We're going into Israel, and you know, somebody asked, said, "Hey, well, what will happen if something happens and you're not here?" And I, my first thought was, nothing. Our church is just going to handle it. That's the DNA of our church. You know, if I'm not here, you know, this church should never be dependent on the pastor.
That's right.
That's okay. Right. Now, should the pastor be a major part of it? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. But this church doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Christ. And we should be doing the work of Christ, not the work of Rick Lynn. Does that make sense? Exactly. So this idea here, this idea of preferring one another, I've known churches that have misused the word doctrine, because there's a difference between preferring one another and being careless with doctrine. Okay? When it comes to doctrine, what should we do? Hello?
Follow it.
We should stand strong. We don't give way on doctrine. What the Bible says, the Bible says. Period. It's not up for debate. But if the Bible doesn't say what color carpet to have, it doesn't matter. Right? So there is a difference between standing for truth but giving way on preference. And that is what this is talking about. Having a high respect by preferring others. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This verse is kind of the same idea. Well, it is the same idea, basically, But what does it mean to submit to one another? In Ephesians 5 here, it is actually, in my understanding of this passage, the context here is in marriage. And how do couples get along and have successful marriages where the men get everything that they want? Yeah, try that, Joel. It's easy to say when she's not here. No, how do we have successful marriages? By submitting and preferring each other.
Responsible to each other.
I'm sorry?
Responsible to each other.
Responsible to each other, absolutely. Choose others over yourself. Stand for truth. Stand firm on truth. But when it comes to preference, let somebody else have it. Verse 11. This is a kind of an interesting concept here, because anyway, verse 11, it says, not slothful in business. When I first started reading and studying this, I was a little perplexed here, because my first thought was dealing with church business. And as you well know from our business meeting last week, one of the things I take very, very serious is the business of the church, the finances of the church. I think the finances of the church should be spotless. We should be able to account for every dime that comes in and give an account to our people. I believe that with all of my heart, because God, I believe, honors that. Okay? But is that what this means?
Careful.
Okay? The word actually means to be eager, to be excited, to do something or to accomplish some end. Okay, that's what the word business means. Okay? So, what does it include? Does it include the church finances?
Yep.
Yes, absolutely it does. But is it limited to the church finances?
No.
No. Everything the church does, we should do. The word here is slothful, not slothful, or lazy. Okay, we should be diligent about everything that we do. So, what do we do as a church? What is the business of the church? I believe it includes the finances. We should be diligent about our finances. Period. But what else should we be diligent about? The gospel, time,
resources,
relationships.
Ability.
I'm sorry.
Ability.
Okay. This is what I have five things here I wrote down. We should be diligent and excited, have a fervor for worshiping and praising God. Because is that not part of the business of the church?
Yes.
I mean, I don't want a church that when people walk in and they sit down and they worship with us on a Sunday morning to think, oh man, these people were weaned on dill pickles. Okay? I've been in churches like that, and it's not fun. Now, should we have respect and honor for God? Absolutely, but we should be praising God and worshiping Him. We should be sharing the gospel. Is an obvious part of what the church does. The third one I have written down here. Love people in the church. Is that not part of the business of the church? And we've already talked about it through some of the other things. But what about loving people outside the church?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was so excited to hear you say that you took some of those bags to work. That is so cool.
Amen.
We should start going to all the business. And, you know, I just, you know, that is awesome. Why? Because that should be the business of the church, is to reach the community, people in need. And then the fifth one that I have here is sending missionaries. Sending missionaries. Supporting missionaries. You know, nothing would thrill me more than to have some of our young people surrender to go to the mission field. I would absolutely love to see some, even my own grandchildren. I would love it. Why? Because that's the business of the church. That's what we should be doing. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23-25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is our priority as a church? The business of our church. We are supposed to be not slothful in business. We are supposed to be diligent about everything that we do as a church. Yes. Oh, it is, totally. Yeah, it is. The person I talked to yesterday who asked me, and I always try to be honest with people, but I try not to minimize the fact that, hey, God has instituted the local church, and there is a reason why we go to church, so that we can grow and that we can learn, but that we can be a part of that family, and we need it. It is a command. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It is a command that we go. Why? Because, you know, there are days, and I'm out of time, but let me say this, we'll be done. There are days when you walk through that door, when you've been having a bad week, hopefully somebody is going to see it in your face, in your countenance, and say, hey, how you doing? And if you lie to them and say, oh, I'm doing great, it's on you. You know, we should be able to say, you know what? Hey, I've had a hard week. Could you pray for me? And let me say this. If somebody does that, stop right there and then and pray with them. Take them into my office if you have to. I don't care. But that is what we do. Whoa. That is what we do as a church family. We need to support one another. And we need to be diligent about it. So, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your precious love and the work you do in our lives. And Lord, thank you for these reminders telling us very clearly how we as a church not only should be as individuals, but how we should be as a corporate body. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.